This morning, the topic of the halachic dateline and the Yom Tov of Shavuos, and we'll see, according to some at least, they might have a unique relationship. But as we know, as a person moves east across the world, it continues to get later and later. For example, a close example is California is 3 hours earlier than we are, Chicago is an hour earlier than we are, and then London is 5 hours later, Eretz Yisrael is 7 hours later, Hong Kong is 12 hours later than us, Sydney, Australia is 14 hours later. The problem is, if you continue to go east around the world, then Hawaii will be 18 hours later than we are, and then you'll hit back in California, which will be 21 hours later than we are. And how could California be 21 hours later than we are, but at the same time 3 hours earlier? And that dilemma is what necessitates the need for a dateline. There must be, something that is obvious, that there has to be a point in the world where the day begins and the day ends. The question is, do Chazal address this in any place? That's why we're a little light on the Mar Mekaymus here this morning, because it's a machlekas whether there are any Mar Mekaymus for this sugya. But the one sugya that might address this is a Gemara in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara tells us on Daf Chaf Amud Beis, at least according to Rashi, two halachas with regards to Kiddush HaChodesh. One halacha is, the first halacha that's mentioned over here on the first line, Tzarech Sheyei Laila V'Yoymin HaChodesh. It has to be, this is the way Rashi understood it, that the night and the day are part of the same Chodesh, which means, if you see the old moon at night, then you cannot see the new moon the following day, during the day, and be Mekadesh the Chodesh. Because since the night was part of the old month, the next day cannot be part of the new month. Because as Rashi says, they both have to be part of the same month. L'manu shem niris halavana, second line of Rashi. Niris halavana hayashana mishachashecha yoyim esav v'tisha shuleil shloishim. If you see it on the night of the 30th, ein mekadosh so b'yoyim shloishim. You can't be mekadosh the following day because you saw the old moon the night before. Then the Gemara tells us a second halacha, which is on the third line over here in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. Esim varbo shoyi mechasi sihora. There are 24 hours where the moon is not visible between the old month and the new month. And the Gemara says, in Eretz Yisrael, six of those hours are from the new month. Eight of those hours where the moon is not visible is from the old month. Okay, what is that relevant for? So the Gemara says, well, if we make a cheshbon based on our calculations of when the Maylid will be, so the Gemara says, if based on our cheshbon, the Maylid will be before Chatzos Hayoyim in Eretz Yisrael, well, then it's possible to see the new moon before the Shkia. Because there's 24 hours where the moon is not visible between the old month and the new month. 6 hours of that are from the new month. In Eretz Yisrael, 18 of those hours where the moon is not visible is attributed to the old month. So that means the earliest in Eretz Yisrael, 6 hours after the Maylid will be the first time you'll be able to see the new moon. Because it's 24 hours when it's not visible, 6 from the new month at earliest. So the Gemara says, if you'll make a cheshbon based on when the Maylid will be, that it should be before Chatzos Hayoyim in Eretz Yisrael, you'll be able to see the new month before the Shkia. If the new moon before the Shkia, if it will be after Chatzos Hayoyim, you'll not be able to see the new moon before the Shkia. Those are the two halachas that Rashi understood from this Gemara. Rashi already was aware of the inherent problem of having both of these halachos taught, because one removes the necessity for the other. Once we say that there's 24 hours where the moon is not visible, we understand 18 hours attributed to the old month, 6 hours attributed to the new month, but then why do you have to tell me if you see the old moon at night, you cannot be Mekadesh the new moon during the day? It can't be that you'll see the new moon during the day because there's 24 hours where the moon is not visible between the old moon, old month and the new month. So Rashi, yes, in the third line over here in Rashi, in Taimar Pshita Dein Mekadshin. Of course, if you saw the old moon at night, you can't be Mekadesh the new moon during the day. Shrei Lotzira HaKadosh B'Yom Shleishim. The Kaimel and Esen V'Arba Shoyim Mechasi Sihara. There's 24 hours where the moon is not visible. So Rashi's Pshat in the Gemara is difficult. Because of that, the Baal Amor, the Sefer Kuzari, in Maimer Beis, Perek Chof, I didn't give you the Baal Amor, it's so lengthy, but they both interpret the Gemara in a different way, that it's addressing specifically, not two separate halachas, it's addressing this halacha of the dateline. And that is, the Gemara is telling us, Tzarech Sheyei Laila V'Yoyim Min HaChodesh. There has to be, when you're Mekadesh the Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, a point in the world where it will be Rosh Chodesh from the Shkia to the Shkia. If you want to be Mekadosh or Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, there still has to be a point in the world where there will be Rosh Chodesh from Shkia to Shkia. Well, at what point, if I'll be Mekadosh or Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, will there be somewhere else in the world where it will be Rosh Chodesh from Shkia to Shkia? So the Gemara says, that will be if the Mailad is before Chatzos Hayoyim in Eretz Yisrael. If it's before Chatzos Hayoyim in Eretz Yisrael, there'll be somewhere on the other side of the world where it will be Rosh Chodesh from Shkia to Shkia. If the Mailad is after Shkia, Chatzos Hayoyim in Eretz Yisrael, after noon, so then it's already too late. There will never be a place, there won't be a place in the world where it will be Rosh Chodesh from Shkia to Shkia. In other words, the Gemara is telling us that the day starts 6 hours to the east, or 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. Because when we're Mekadosh the Chodesh before Chatzos Hayoyim in Eretz Yisrael, there's still 18 hours left where we could have a place in the world where we'll be Rosh Chodesh from Shkia to Shkia. But after Chatzos Hayoyim, we won't have, it will be already too late, there won't be a place in the world where we'll be Rosh Chodesh from Shkia to Shkia. So the Gemara is telling us, when it said 18 hours, is from the previous month, 6 hours is from the new month, what the Gemara is really telling us is that the date line is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, or what would be 125 degrees east longitude from Greenwich, England. Because Rosh Chodesh, in order to be declared as Rosh Chodesh, has to be that there's somewhere in the world where it is Rosh Chodesh from Shkia to Shkia, and that, the Gemara tells us, is at the cutoff, is at Chatzos Hayoyim, at noon in Eretz Yisrael. This might serve as the basis for a minhag that's quoted by the Ari HaKadosh that many are familiar with when it comes to Yom Kippur, when the Mishnah Berurah discusses in Hilchos Yom Kippur the minhag of going to the mikvah before Yom Kippur. Some Rishonim hold some mitzvah midayrais, Gofnei Hashem Titaru, before the day of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should go to the mikvah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Ari HaKadosh, you should not go before Chatzos Hayoyim and Erev Yom Kippur, which creates a mad rush, right? After in yeshivish communities that are aware of this, a mad rush after Chatzos Hayoyim Erev Yom Kippur instead of staggering it throughout the day. Why Chatzos Hayoyim? Why does it have to be after? The Ari HaKadosh doesn't quote a reason. So some say the reason is, along the lines of this Gemara, that the Ari held that in order to go to the mikvah to prepare for Yom Kippur, there has to be Kedushas Yom Kippur somewhere in the world already. So when in Eretz Yisrael will there be Kedushas Yom Kippur? When will Yom Kippur occur? When is the first place in the world to welcome in Yom Kippur? Is going to be 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, which means in Yerushalayim, when's the first moment that Kedushas Yom Kippur exists in the world? Is at Chatzos Hayoyim, it's at noon. So therefore, already Kedushas Yom Kippur exists within the world. If that's the pshat in the Ari, and that's why then you could go to the mikvah, because then you could prepare for Yom Kippur properly, because Kedushas Yom Kippur exists within the world, so that shouldn't apply in America, because by dawn, there's Kedushas Yom Kippur somewhere in the world. There's already Chatzos in Eretz Yisrael. So in America, then, according to that understanding of the Ari, you should be able to go to the mikvah already from the morning on Erev Yom Kippur. But according to the Baal HaMor, according to the Sefer Kuzari, this Gemara is addressing exactly this issue. When does the day begin? And the Gemara tells us that it begins 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, which would put it 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. And there is another Gemara, perhaps, which supports this position of the Baal HaMor and the Chassam Sofer. I'm sorry, with the Baal HaMor and the Sefer Kuzari. And that is the Gemara Masechtas Kiddushin. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Kiddushin, comment on the pasuk v'kamtav in Sefer in Parsha Shoftim v'kamtav alisa l'makom asher yivchar Hashem Elokecha. When you have a shayla in halacha, you should get up and go to the place which the Kadosh Baruch Hu has chosen, the Beis Hamikdash, to ask your shayla to the Beis in Hagadol. So says the Gemara, Malamed Shabeis Hamikdash gavoyah mikol arotzos. This teaches us that the Beis Hamikdash, or Yerushalayim, is taller than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. That's why it's v'kamtav alisa. You should go up. Then the Gemara tells us, Eretz Yisrael is gavoyah mikol arotzos. Eretz Yisrael is also taller than the other parts of the world, which is based on the pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyahu. Hinei yomim boim num Hashem lo yomer oid chay Hashem asher heles bnei Yisrael mei Eretz Mitzrayim. At the time of the Gula Sida, no one will say anymore that how great was the Kadosh Baruch Hu who brought us out, who lifted us up out of Mitzrayim and brought us to Eretz Yisrael. So you see that coming out of Mitzrayim was a going up to Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael is taller, is higher than the rest of the world, and even within Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is taller, is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. This is the pshat as well in the Gemara, in the Mishnah Masechtas Ksubis, on the Kuf Yudam Ebeis, where the Mishnah tells us that either spouse can compel the other spouse to move to Eretz Yisrael. Hakol malin le'Eretz Yisrael. And neither one could compel the other one to move out. They could compel the other one to move to Eretz Yisrael. And even within Eretz Yisrael, Hakol malin le'Yushalayim. Either one of the spouses could compel the other one to move you to Yushalayim. And Sam Sofer explains in his Shuvas in Siman Reish Lamed Dalin that you see from here that there's a greater mitzvah, of course, we know to live in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Laretz, but even within Eretz Yisrael, there's a greater mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim than in the rest of Eretz Yisrael, based on this Mishnah, that one spouse could compel the other spouse to move to Yerushalayim. That's why the Sam Sofer writes in his Drashas on Parshas Emor that was why an earthquake, a terrible, catastrophic earthquake occurred in the year 1837. Was because the people of Tzfas, which was where they really became the center of the terror world in that time, was eclipsing Yerushalayim. He says people forgot already about the chashivas of Yerushalayim. So he says, and there's a unique mitzvah to attribute to that chashivas, even a unique mitzvah, even perhaps of living in Yerushalayim over the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And because they didn't attribute that proper significance to it, so that's why the terrible earthquake occurred. So this is all based on this Mishnah in Ksubis, that Yerushalayim is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is higher, is taller than the rest of the world. But what does this mean? Is this supposed to be taken literally? That Yerushalayim is really the highest elevation point in Eretz Yisrael? So the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva, yes, Yerushalayim is the highest elevation point in Eretz Yisrael. Ah, but we see it's not the case. You see that the Har HaBayis is not the tallest place in Eretz Yisrael. So Radvaz says that's because Yerushalayim was destroyed so many times that they, as the Pasuk says in the Sefer, as in Sefer Tehillim, in Al Naharos Bavel, that, what's the Pasuk? The Pasuk is, Zichar levnei Edom es yom Yerushalayim ha'emrim aru aru adi yasaidba, that they dug, aru aru, they dug underneath, they excavated so much the Har HaBayis because it was destroyed so many times that it became lower down to the foundation. But initially, he says, the Har HaBayis was the tallest elevation point in Eretz Yisrael. It really means Yerushalayim was taller than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. The problem with that is, the Pasuk also says in Sefer Tehillim, Yerushalayim harim savivla, that there were mountains surrounding Yerushalayim, which implies that Yerushalayim was lower than its even surrounding mountains. So the pshat of the Radvaz is difficult. But even more than that, the Gemara also says, Eretz Yisrael's gavoya mikol arotzes. Eretz Yisrael is the highest elevation point in the world, but obviously that is not the case. So how do we understand this Gemara? Right, so the Maharsha explains on that Gemara, it's also found in that Tshuva from the Chassam Sofer and Siman Reish Lamed Daled, that this refers to what is our perspective, what is our priorities. See, where the globe is a sphere, is a round. So what's the top, what's the bottom? So what's the top and the bottom of the sphere? Well, it depends how you hold it. How you position it. You could hold it like this, and then the top is over here. You hold it like this, the top is over here. How are we supposed to position the world? What's our priorities? What's most important to us? So the Gemara is telling us that the Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikol Arotzes. That's at the top, the North Pole. And then the very tip of the North Pole, where our world exists, is Yerushalayim. That's the top. That's how it should be positioned in our mind, in our list of priorities. Yerushalayim is above Eretz Yisrael above the rest of the world, and that's why the Chassam Sofer says it's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, a mitzvah to live, even beyond that, in Yerushalayim. That's how we position the world in our list of priorities. If that's the case, presumably then one could argue, and some do, that that was the position that the world was created, that the world was in at the time of Bria Olam. If that's the ideal, the paradigm, presumably that's where the way where the world existed at the moment of Bria Olam was Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael was on top. What does on top mean? Closest to the sun, presumably. So if on top means closest to the sun, what time was it in Eretz Yisrael at the time of Bria Olam? Was noon. That's when, in the middle of the day, that's when that point of the world is closest to the sun. If that's the case, so then where is the date line? Well, then it should be 6 hours to the east of Eretz Yisrael would be, if you would continue with the day, that's where the day would conclude. As you go east, it gets later and later, so 6 hours to the east of Eretz Yisrael would be midnight, or would be, I'm sorry, would be Shkia. 180 degrees from Eretz Yisrael would be midnight. So if that's the case, so then the date line, at the time of Bria Olam, the day began 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, which would place it at 125 degrees east longitude.
How do we know it's
because if Eretz Yisrael is the top, yeah. Eretz Yisrael is the way we position the world. What does top mean? Closest to the sun. Probably. Otherwise, what's the bottom? What's the top? You're in space. Space is
isn't the top
an abyss.
Zero, isn't the top the 0, 0? We're not talking about the top being Greenwich. We're talking the top of the sphere. When you look at the globe, the top
correct.
Is 0, 0. It's not. So you're not on one on line 125.
Because the world is on an angle.
Yeah.
Okay, but forgetting about that for the moment. Exactly. Put that aside for the moment. You're saying the axis, the problem. Yeah, but leave that aside for the moment.
Actually, the top of the world should have been the one directly opposite. The gravitational pull of everything on the Earth to the sun, then the top of the world should be. Exactly
what about Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikolarotzis? So what about that? Okay. A loose connection, we understand, but perhaps an indication nonetheless. So that would place, if you just look at the map on the other side, and at least it reinforces the Baal HaMoris Pshat and Agamar Rosh Hashanah. So that would place the date line right in the middle of Australia and in between Japan and China, would cut in the middle of what was the Siberia, the Soviet Union. That's where the date line would run according to the Baal HaMoris. And that was the opinion of the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav. That's where the date line should be, is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, like the opinion of the Baal HaMoris and the Sefer Kuzari. So the problem is, here it cuts right through Australia. So the Brisker Rav held that you could have such a scenario where on one side of the street will be Shabbos, the other side of the street will be Friday, or the other side of the street will be Sunday. The Brisker Rav held that was indeed the halacha. 24-hour difference. However, the Chazon Ish held that it cannot be that that's the case. It cannot be that the dayline cuts right through a landmass. So the Chazon Ish developed on his own a principle that the dayline, while it goes at 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, it goes around the landmasses. So everything that's closest to Eretz Yisrael gets schlepped along with Eretz Yisrael. So all of Australia, the dayline would go around the coast, the eastern coast of Australia, and that would all be Nigrar Acher Eretz Yisrael. So to the Siberia would be Nigra Acher Eretz Yisrael. It cannot be that it should cut right in the middle of a landmass. It would mean that Japan would be on the other side of the Japan, New Zealand, would be certain islands in the Philippines and the Pacific would be on the other side of the date line, according to the Chazon Ish, but it cannot be that it cuts through a landmass. It could be that machlekes is between the Chazon Ish, what? Because it goes based, Eretz Yisrael was the priority. So instead of schlepping all of Australia to the west, which you could have made that argument, the Chazon Ish was coming from the perspective that Eretz Yisrael is the center, so everything gets like magnetic pull, everything gets schlepped along to Eretz Yisrael. This machlekes between the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav could be a hashkafic machlekes. Could you have such a thing, you know, that the dateline cuts right through a landmass, and one side of the street it's Sunday, on the other side of the street it's Shabbos? You know, it might depend on your perspective of halacha in general. For example, there's a machlekes when it comes to trumas and maisers. If you have a fruit that hasn't had trumas and maisers separated from it, so then we know that that's called tevel. And if you eat it, you chayev koris. How do you remove the Easter tevel? Mafish trumas and maisers. What if you take the fruit and change the form that it's in? For example, I take oranges, make orange juice. So what is the status of the orange juice? Orange juice is usher. It's not the fruit itself. The fruit was the orange. But the orange juice is yoytze min ha'aser aser. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Becharis and Avava Mabez, not only from the fact that the Easter against the camel was repeated twice in the Chumash, once in Parshas Shmini, once in Parshas Re'eh. Why say twice that the camel is aser? To teach us not only is the camel aser, but the milk from the camel is aser too. Because whatever comes, whatever emanates from something which is aser as well. So this orange juice that emanated from the orange, which was tevel, is also prohibited. Yoytze min ha'aser aser. Fine. What is the status then now of this orange juice that's made that you haven't been mafresh, trumas, and maisers? So it's yoytze min ha'aser aser. Can I be mafresh from the orange juice to remove the iser of tevel? Or yoytze min ha'aser aser? So the Brisker Rav held, no. This is not an iser tevel, you know, the primary iser tevel. This is a derivative of the iser tevel. It's a yoytze min ha'aser aser. There's no halacha of being mafresh, trumas, and maisers that could relieve an iser of yoytze min ha'aser aser. There's a halacha of mafresh, trumas, and maisers could relieve an iser tevel, but this is the derivative of the iser tevel. So Brisker Rav held, you could have orange juice, which is aser, be iser tevel, which you can do nothing with it. You can't fix it. It's stuck. And Chazon Ish argues, it cannot be that there is an item in the world which is aser, be iser tevel, that you can't fix it. How can it be that you can't fix it by being mafresh, trumas, and maisers? Oranges on oranges.
How about orange juice on oranges?
That's what they're discussing. Brisker Rav held no.
Even
yes, because that's not an Easter Tevel fundamentally. It's an Easter Yoytzman Aser Aser. There's no halakha of Mafras, Trumas, and Maestras to be Matar in Easter Yoytzman Aser Aser. Or when it comes to Klisheni, this is a famous Machlaikas as well. The Gemara tells us in the Masechta Shabbos and Daf Mem and Beis that Klisheni Eino Mevasho. If you have a primary place where the water is cooked, the urn, and then I put the water into a cup, the cup is called the Klisheni. So the Gemara says, Klisheni Eino Mevasho, I could put cold water into the cup. It won't get cooked. Not into a Kli Rishon where the water was cooked, but Klisheni Eino Mevasho. But the Gemara also quotes one opinion that salt, uncooked salt, cannot be put into a Klisheni, because salt, according to one opinion in the Gemara, is very delicate. It's what we call Kale Habishon, will even get cooked in a Klisheni. So the Gemara says salt might get cooked in a Klisheni. It's one opinion like that. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch too. Salt might get cooked in a Klisheni. We know water does not get cooked in a Klisheni. What about everything else in the world that's not water, that's not salt? Does it get cooked in a Klisheni or not? So the Magen Avraham says, we don't know. You have to ask her everything. In the world, presume it might be Kale Habishol, just like salt. Water, he can. The Gemara says you can put water in a Klisheni. But anything that's not water, you have to be Klisheni to Kale Habishol. So the Chazanish disagrees. Why do you take that perspective, that everything in the world is us until proven mutter? He says, maybe we should take the perspective that everything is not Kale Habishol except for salt. Salt, we know, is Kale Habishol. Everything else, maybe not. So it might depend, this machlekes, with regards to whether the date line cuts right through, Yikav Adina Sahar cuts right through a landmass or not, might depend on your perspective on halacha in general. But that both the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav agree that the date line should be at 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim, which would mean that Japan would be on the other side of the date line. So during the war years, when the Jews ran away and ended up in Japan, so this Shiloh became very relevant. So they sent the Shiloh to Eretz Yisrael. What day is Shabbos? What side of the dateline are they on? And the Chazon Ish issued his opinion that they were on the other side of the dateline because it's not connected to the landmass of China and the dateline runs right in between Japan and China. So they were on the other side of the dateline. But at that time, Rabbi Targachinsky, who was a major Paisik in Eretz Yisrael, the author of the Gesher HaChaim, convened a convention of Rabbanim with Rabbi Herzog and many others. And they concluded, not like the Chazon Ish, not like the Baal HaMaor, because Rashi has a different shot than that Gemara. It's not referring to the date line. It's two separate halachas with regards to Kiddush HaChodesh. And they concluded differently. They concluded, well, Eretz Yisrael is Gavoya Mikol HaRotzis. Eretz Yisrael is at the top. Okay, that's the way we should position the globe. So the date line should be furthest away from us as possible. 180 degrees from Yerushalayim. Just like Lahavdil Lagoyim, where did they put the date line? They were Kovei Azmanim in Greenwich, England. So where did they put the date line? 180 degrees from us. Wherever it is, it's as far away from us as possible. So along those same lines, Rabbi Targachinsky felt, since Eretz Yisrael was the top, the date line must be on the other side, as far away from Yerushalayim as possible. So he put it at 180 degrees from Eretz Yisrael, which would put it at 140. Where is that? No, 140 degrees. No, 145 degrees west longitude, which is over here on the map if you flip the page. 145 degrees west longitude, which would put it right in the middle of Alaska, between California and Hawaii. That's where he put it. So for Japan, it worked out well. They were able to keep Shabbos on the day that they observed as that the Goyim treated as Shabbos. But for other reasons, for those who travel to Hawaii or the further points in Alaska, so Rabbi Targachinsky's position is the one that creates problems. Because according to him, Hawaii is on the other side of the date line than California. So that's Rabbi Targachinsky also held that it goes around the landmass, not that it cuts through the landmass. Everyone subscribed to that part, so it goes around Alaska, but it would create a problem for Hawaii. That was the second opinion. There was a third opinion in Paiskim at the time, which was the opinion of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and that of Issa Zalman Meltzer, that since we have no Makairis in the Gemara for either Shita, or no compelling Makar, that we should follow whatever the Minig HaMakom is. And that was based on the Gemara Masechet Shabbos, well known, where the Gemara tells us in Daf Samach Pesach Mebeis, HaMahalech B'midbar, a person's walking in the desert, he doesn't know when Shabbos is, any day or Amos or Shabbos, he should count 6 days and keep Shabbos on the 7th day. And the Radvaz already brings this up in a Shaila where he was asked, how could it be, not exactly our issue, but how could it be that in Eretz Yisrael it's Shabbos, 7 hours before it's Shabbos in New York? How could it be in one part of the world is Shabbos, the other part of the world is not Shabbos? So Radvaz says it's not a problem because the Pasuk says by Shabbos, ki ois hi ben yu ben echem, it's an ois between me and you. He writes on the third line, every place in the world keeps Shabbos based on their the way that they calculate Shabbos, meaning based on the sunset and the sunrise in that place. So too, some have invoked that principle here as well, that when it comes to being koveya the date line, we should go based on whatever the minhag hamakom was. Like the person who's traveling in the Midbar. So whatever the minhag hamakom is, to treat as a Saturday, that should be, for halachic purposes as well, should be treated as Shabbos. What becomes an issue is places that switch the makkah, the minhag. When Alaska was sold in 1867 from Russia to the United States, so they switched the day, which they switched to which side of the dateline they were on. They used to be after the Russia, because that was the part of the country they were associated with. Now, part of the world they were associated with. Now, when they were sold in 1867, they switched which day of the week they considered to be to be Shabbos. Or Samoa, everyone knows, in 2011, not American Samoa, but the other part of Samoa, which is not a colony of the United States. So they switched which side of the dateline they were on. They used to do most of their business with the United States, and they began to do most of their business with Asia. So in order to make it more convenient, in 2011, they switched the side of the dateline that they're on. So how does the halacha react to that? Whatever the minhag hamakom is. You switch the minhag hamakom? You can't do that. Whatever you establish as the minhag hamakom is the minhag hamakom. So that becomes problematic, perhaps, according to that position. Okay, so we have three shittas. Bottom line, where is the date line? According to the Chazon Ish and the Brisker Rav, it's at 90 degrees east of Eretz, east of Yerushalayim, accounting for the fact that it goes around landmasses. According to Rabbi Targachinsky, it's at 140 degrees west longitude, or 180 degrees from Yerushalayim, which puts it somewhere in between California and Hawaii, right in the middle of Alaska. And then some held we should follow the Minhag HaOlam, which was 180 degrees from Greenwich, England, which is the international date line. So how should we be noig? So many Paiskim held already when the yeshivas were in Japan during that period of the time in the war, that the psak that they were given by Simcha Zelig, by others, was to be machmer for both shitas, at least when it comes to deraisas, to be machmer for both shitas, both that of Rabbi Targachinsky and the Chazon Ish. Now, in truth, there isn't because we're going. No one held like the Brisker Rav. I mean, the Brisker Rav held like the Brisker Rav, but the Lamaisa, no one is chayshish for that opinion that it should cut through the middle of a landmass. So it really only has a ramification for a person who's going to spend Shabbos in Japan, or you're going to spend Shabbos in Hawaii. Because even if you're in Alaska or you're in parts of Australia, most held it went around the landmass. That was agreed upon by Chinsi and the Chazon Ish. So it's only to spend Shabbos in Hawaii or in Japan, then you'll have to be chayshish for 2 days, 2 days Shabbos. Or New Zealand, correct, right, if you're in one of these places. But the problem is, according to the Chayyim, you will run into a problem if you're on a cruise, or you're flying out of Australia back to the United States on Sunday, because, even according to the Chazon Ish, it goes around the landmass, but once you fly out of the landmass over the water, so now immediately you flew out of Sunday back into Shabbos, because according to the Chazon Ish, you just crossed back the dateline into... So to fly out of Australia into Shabbos, you would not be able to do malacha on the plane until the sun set. Some hold you're not allowed to get on the plane in the first place, but many hold you're allowed to get on the plane, just you can't do it. Right now it's Sunday, but once you're on the plane, you're not supposed to do any malacha until you see the sun set. You can see the sun set on the plane, because you flew back from Sunday into Shabbos, or on a cruise in Alaska, if you'll get off, you walk off the landmass onto the boat, so then you might be in a different day than was on the landmass, and you have to account for that. But where most people, it would be a problem to be in Japan, Hawaii, New Zealand for Shabbos, according to many poskim. Those who live in these places are not chayshish for this, but those who travel to these places are chayshish to keep 2 days, at least when it comes to deraisas, at least when it comes. To keep the rices of Shabbos. What about a person though? Huh?
You did Arab in Australia.
So I went around, that goes around the landmass. And then we, I'm going back now, and we're going, I'm going to be in Hawaii, but I'm leaving Hawaii before Shkia on Thursday, so no Shaila. I practice what I preach, and I'm leaving Australia after the Shkia on Sunday.
Can you do 2 days of only the Oasis? Which day do you hold, like the Hum? It's also the Kula, you have to do Kiddush, Bochus.
Those are the Rabbanans. Oh, Kiddush.
No, but it's a Chumash.
Yeah. So someone told me a chop, and if you're in Hawaii for Shabbos, so Hawaii, it's not Shabbos Sunday. In Australia, it's a, like as if it's what they call Shabbos or Sunday. In Hawaii, they're not like California, so it's a Shaila Friday Shabbos. Someone told me, you make early Shabbos, you don't make Kiddush Friday, now, whatever, make early Shabbos, if you make early Shabbos, so then maybe you can make Kiddush, you can make Kiddush, you'd be Yotze Kiddush for both days. If Friday is Shabbos, you may make Kiddush on Friday. If Shabbos is Shabbos, so you make Kiddush early, you might even make early Shabbos. Mm-hmm. I don't know, all Eitzes. But I wouldn't spend Shabbos in traveling, and you're just on, no compelling reason to be there. I wouldn't spend Shabbos in Hawaii, New Zealand, or Japan. But what does happen is people do have a lot of reason to travel and cross over the date line. So what then is the ramifications with regards to other halachas? So it's generally assumed within the Paiskim that there are certain halachas that depend on my personal day, my counting of 24 hours from the sunset to the sunrise, or in some halachas that depend on the calendaric date. For example, if I eat a meal and then cross over the date line, no one will say you're not obligated to bench because the day has passed since you ate. Or if you went to the bathroom and then you crossed over the date line, you don't have to say Asher Yotzer. Everyone holds those halachas depend on your personal day. And by the same token, everyone agrees that eating matzah on the 15th of Nisan depends on the calendaric date, not on how many days have passed for you, or the sitting in the sukkah, or hearing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. All those depend on the calendaric date. What about other halachas, like bris milah, 8 days for bris milah, pidin haben, for bar mitzvah, all of these are machlekes hapoiskim. Does it depend on my personal day or calendaric date? So, for example, if Chaim Kanievsky holds the 8 days for bris milah, for pidin haben, bar mitzvah, all depends on the calendaric date. The date, from 8 days from the day that the baby is born, that's the day of the bris milah, not to the fact that he's literally gone through 24-hour periods of time. Why? Because the halacha changes the reality. Just like Yerushalmi tells us in Maseftos Ksubis, that a girl who has relations before 3 years old, the besulim are chayzrim, and if it's after she's 3 years old, the besulim are not chayzrim, but if Chazal make a shanim uberes that year, then the besulim are chayzrim for an extra month. Because reality, metzius, is dictated by the halacha, not the reverse. So too, argues of Chaim Kanievsky, all of these halachas depend on the halacha, whatever the day is, not the fact that 24 hours have passed. Rabbi Yashiv disagrees. The bris milah and the pidin haben depend on how many days have passed for the child. Bar mitzvah, everyone agrees, is based on the calendaric date. But let's say Shiva Nikiyim. A woman is traveling and she's counting Shiva Nikiyim. Or 7 days of Avelos. A person goes to bury a mace, crosses over the date line. So Rabbi Yashiv holds that depends on your days. It's a chumrah. Or kulo, but usually going to be a chumrah. Or a yartzeit, everyone who holds that depends on the calendaric date. What about davening, though? Davening. I daven on the plane, the shachris, I cross over the date line. You have to daven again. So again, machlekes to machlekes hapoiskim. According to Rabbi Yashiv, it depends on your personal day. So you daven when you see the sun rise, you daven mincha when it looks like, after chatzos hayom, you daven mariv when the sun sets. You don't have to worry about what side of the date line you're on. And Shlomo Zalman held that it depends on the calendaric date. You have to daven once a day, every day. It depends on what day, what calendaric date you're in. So then you have to could be concerned when you cross the date line. Perhaps you have to daven again. I think that might depend on a machlekes rishonim about what the nature of chiyuv tefillah is. According to the Rambam, you're obligated to daven midei raisa be'es tzara. When I have a personal dilemma, I have to daven to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So it depends on me. So if I davened once in this sunset, the sunrise, I already davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my dilemma today. But according to the Ramban, that tefillah is a mitzvah mid Rabbanan, once a day, every day, to daven, or 3 times a day, every day, to daven, so then it might depend on the calendaric date. But on Ageya L'Nyoneinu, what about Sfiras HaOmer? Sfiras HaOmer depend on the calendaric date or on my personal counting? See, the opinion of Sternbach in the Tshuvas van Haggis is it depends on my personal counting, not on the date line. So if you cross the date line, it doesn't matter. You count 49 sunsets to sunset. and Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe, all held Rabbi Yashiv, all held that it goes based on the calendaric date. Again, I think that might depend on the Machlekes Rishonim. As we know, by Sfiras HaOmer, the opinion of the Bahag is that if you miss one day, so then you cannot continue to count with a bracha, because it's supposed to be a series, a progression of counting. I'm supposed to have a progression of counting, one, two, three. If I miss a day, my progression has been broken. But perhaps that relates to me, that I should have a counting, so it depends on my sunset to sunset. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that every you can make a bracha, even if you miss a day, you can continue to count to the bracha every day as its own mitzvah. So then if that's the case, it should probably depend on the calendaric date that you have to count that day. On that day, it would depend on what day of Sfiras HaOmer it is. Taking the position of Rav Sternbach even one step further, that it goes based on my counting Sfiras HaOmer, Lubavitcher Rebbe held, it's printed in the Likutei Sichos, Parshas Emor, and in many other places, Lubavitcher Rebbe held, that not only the Sfiras HaOmer determined based on my counting, I don't care, it doesn't matter whether I cross the date line or not, Shavuos also depends on my personal counting, so if I cross the date line and I'm off from counting in a different way than where I am, not only will I be counting Sfiras HaOmer in a different counting than the place where I'm at, but I will also have Shavuos on a different day, because Shavuos is the 50th day of Sfiras HaOmer, no matter where, what the calendaric date is, it depends on 50 days from the second day Pesach that I have counted. So Lubavitcher Rebbe held, you could have a different day Shavuos than everybody else. And he said, look, in the Chumash, it never mentions a specific date for Shavuos. Machlaik is in the Gemara. Is it Hey Sivan, Vav Sivan, Zayin Sivan? Might depend on the year. The Magen Avraham already notes it doesn't really correspond to the Zman Matan Torasenu historically. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, so then there's no date in the Chumash. It depends on whenever I finish counting Sfiras HaOmer. So it could be that Shavuos also, again, that's not the generally accepted psak, but the Shavuos also for me will be different than everybody else. Perhaps, though, a final idea, perhaps this gives us an important Musar as we go into Shavuos, which is Man Matan Tarasenu. We're concluding counting Sfiras HaOmer, as we just read last week, Parashas Bechukaisai, Shetu Amelim Batayra, that perhaps we learn from here that Sfiras HaOmer, Shavuos, Man Matan Tarasenu, was not a set time in the Chumash. There's no set time necessarily for Talmud Torah. Whatever time we make, whatever time we set aside for Torah, that's the time that becomes Zman Matan Tarasenu. And so too in our own schedules, a lot of times there isn't time that's cut out, that's, you know, organically works out for Talmud Torah. It's only whatever time we cut out of our schedules to make time to learn it. I mean, it's a shame if we cut out the proper time, kaveh itim at the proper time, we'll be zeichet to accept the Torah fully and properly on the Yom Tov Shavuos. I wish you all a good Yom Tov. What? Astronaut. A different time. Yeah.